knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today involves a little bit of a spoiler.
All right.
So, if anyone is watching The Amazing Race,
all right,
please click forward a little bit if you don't want something spoiled.
Okay.
But it's actually not that much of a spoiler.
All right.
It's just kind of... I have never seen, until this most recent episode of The Amazing Race, something that I would have smoked.
Wait. You mean something that you would have done very, very well?
I would have beat everybody by a country mile.
Not like, wow, that's the biggest spliff in Chechnya.
No.
I'm in.
No. Although, maybe we could see that on the next season.
Hey, no, listen, I'd be all for it.
So here's the spoiler. Without saying who won or any of this stuff.
Sure.
The last challenge that they had to do after all the roadblocks and everything, right before they checked into the finish, was they had to memorize the Greek alphabet and then, like, identify Greek letters.
Yeah.
And everyone had so much trouble with it.
Oh, God.
And I would have just been like, do. Seeing these people, like, see a delta, and they're like, I think it's a beta. Go fuck yourself. Man.
That's always really, truly great whenever you watch one of those shows, and then suddenly somebody's just... This is my wheelhouse, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be ahead by 4 hours because accidentally I am a very specific person.
I was waiting for, like, there's enough people left on the show that I thought maybe someone would have some familiarity with Greek.
Yeah.
But no.
Oh, it's the physical Asia show I was talking to you about, right? Mm-hmm. One of their challenges, you got these strands of fabric and you got to hang on above the ground, right? One of the guys on one of the teams, Cirque du Soleil guy. So it was like, oh everybody just quit.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to win it. We're already done here. No point in being here.
I would fail at almost everything. But like, there just, this would be that moment where it's like, thank God Dan came along.
Oh, man.
This is what I bring to the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
You know, like if we were.
Yeah. Like, I get it. You know, everybody wants to be the guy who does all the stuff and gets a lot of the glory. But sometimes there's a guy who does one thing and he needs that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only guy who can do it.
I know that a sigma is not an O with a squiggle on it.
Mm.
I know that. All right.
Ooh.
Come on.
I would be hard pressed to tell you what a sigma is.
Fucking people. Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is what was my bright spot?
I don't know.
Could
have fooled me. Something about your wife? Got your ass.
Nice. Eat it, Jordan. Oh no, my bright spot is every night we fall asleep watching Chopped.
Sure.
And my bright spot is Chopped. Is a perfect TV show to fall asleep to. It's the perfect structure, form to be asleep and then awake sometime in the middle and be immediately caught up on what's going on and then fall asleep and then be the next episode and be like, no problem.
It's always very interesting when they open up the ingredient.
Yep.
You know, and then it always goes okay.
Yep.
Like, it never goes too great or too bad.
Nope. It's really hard, but, you know, everybody knows how to kind of melt stuff together, right?
Yeah. I've watched a lot of that show, and I don't think I've ever seen somebody be like, this fucking sucks.
No.
You failed.
We were watching an episode where it was like, oh, no. This Freitag is having a bad day. She just tore into everybody, and you could feel the other judges like, reacting to her energy, just being like, I guess I'll try and be meaner about this. Mm-hmm. But she was, it was personal. Yeah. She had just gotten a divorce or something. Like, that was a completely separate
thing.
There
was a rock in her shoe.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just like, I was just reflecting on what a workhorse of a show that is. It never needs to stop. There's mm-hmm. never an end to it. There's always going to be more random shit that you can put in a basket and make people try and cook.
Yeah, and it's like, it's exciting, but not that exciting.
Yep.
So falling asleep to it's pretty good.
So easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
It's kind of a like melatonin show.
It is. It's I don't know if you can set out to make a show that's perfect for falling asleep to, but if they did, they nailed it.
I think you can't set out for it, but you just have to accidentally discover it along the way.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you found it.
Too good.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
All right.
We're going to be talking about November 13th, 2025.
All right.
As the Epstein emails continue to
peek
their little heads around. And Alex is forced to be constantly just saying everything's fine.
Yeah.
Hey, we're
well,
good.
Everything's fine.
No big deal.
No
nothing
big deal.
Burgers.
Okay, fine.
So we'll chat about how he deals with this day's events. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to the new Wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, this is my actual name, not a shout-out, Jones. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jeff Brown. Damn you, and thank you for bringing Knowledge Fight into my life. May God start waking you up to tell you the time. Love, TC. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And hey, Maggie, still promise to love you even during football season. Skol Vikings. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Greetings from Nuthatch. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So on our last episode, we discussed some emails coming out about Trump being the dog that didn't bark.
Sure.
And Michael Wolff and Jeffrey Epstein going back and forth talking about how they can exploit Trump and shit.
Basically, we're just doing everything short of Trump and Epstein emailing back and forth being like, hey, wasn't it great when we had sex with that underage child together? Right?
But that was kind of the subtext of the birthday message.
Exactly.
The friendship is a wonderful riddle.
We're basically there. We're just waiting for an email that explicitly lays out we fucking Eiffel Towered somebody and now we've moved on with our lives and we can go with it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
I don't think I'm allowed on regular news programs.
No, no. CNN doesn't want us back now, for sure. But I was trying to think of like an American equivalent of the Eiffel Tower, because you know that seems so European.
Sure.
That was what my brain was doing.
Do you mean the St. Louis Arch?
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
All right.
The gateway to the West. You ever been up there?
I have, actually, yes.
Underwhelming.
It's very...
So there's more Epstein emails that are coming out.
Sure.
And hey, here's the headline. Trump's cool.
All right. Here's the deal. Everybody knows I just call it like it is. Balls and strikes. And I predicted, it wasn't hard to predict, what was in the so-called Epstein files that Congress in the last few months subpoenaed from the DOJ, and most of it's already been out and been public, and it's everything we already knew, and it all exonerates President Trump. But that's not the way the media is taking the headlines and spinning it. So my job is not to defend Trump when he's doing something that's not defendable. My job is to just analyze the facts.
And pretend that there's a completely different set of facts for you to respond to.
A really convenient set of facts that already fit with what you were hoping they would be.
Yeah, and I think that if you judge things solely based on headlines, I would say that a lot of the media stuff isn't great either.
Sure.
Like a lot, but I think that criticism, it's universal for mainstream commercial news enterprises. Like, they're always going to write headlines that make you want to click on them.
Yeah.
And shit. So, like, yeah, maybe you could read a headline that overstates some of the email stuff.
Right.
But the counterpoint is Alex, his whole existence is...
I mean, yeah, I don't want to say it's a matter of degrees so much as it is, like, at the very least, one of them is trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them is trying. There's a lot of compromises they have to make. And you know what? We're biting the bullet on this, but we're trying. And the other one is like, what if I peed on his face?
Yeah, one is like putting on like fireworks around something that's real.
Yeah.
And the other is just lying. Mm-hmm. And Alex is the one that's just lying.
Just lying.
So it turns out that there are some new revelations.
All right. Okay.
And they have to do with Steve Bannon.
Okay.
Doing some hanging out.
Is he releasing the seventh seal?
Maybe.
So now the new thing, because again, they're like, oh, we're going to release it all. Oh, actually, drip, 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 drip. The best they've got is the stuff they've released. And now, ooh, Steve Bannon's in there. And I know... you know, the Epstein thing up one side, down the other, backwards and forwards. So I already knew what it would be when I read it. He had at least one meeting with him in New York. Yeah, for a TV interview. That's what he does. Oh, Steve Bannon, he was in emails with him. And he's like, hey, can you put pressure, get any of your buddies to help get rid of Powell? We really need to cut interest rates. I've never had a communication with Steve Bannon, and I've had him for many, 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 many years. It isn't just, we need to take action on this. We need to take action on that. Everybody you know to help do this. I mean, that's just...
You want to go to this island with me?
You get behind the scenes. 18 hours a day, just like me, running around fighting the globalists. That's it.
So Alex's version of the story is that Steve Bannon had just emailed with Epstein to discuss if anyone had a connection to Jerome Powell so that they could get the Federal Reserve to change interest rates.
Makes sense.
Totally innocent. Right. Nothing to see here.
Above board, we're just trying to manipulate the prices of things so to make a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just a sex trafficker emailing the former head of Breitbart and one of Trump's top advisors working on some behind-the-scenes deals on economic policy. Now, come on.
I mean, it's almost like you don't want a deep state.
This is Americana. So in reality, Steve Bannon and Jeff Epstein were good friends and had a strong working relationship. The emails reflect that in 2018, Epstein was coordinating international travel for Bannon, and Bannon called him, quote, a great assistant on more than one occasion.
Great.
When Bannon was still involved with the White House, Epstein was advising him on how to handle foreign policy, telling him, quote, if you're going to play here, you have to spend time. Europe by remote doesn't work. This was in the context of telling Bannon that he would need to be physically in Europe to hold influence there, and that Epstein could set up meetings with world leaders for him.
Amazing.
So Alex can cut the bullshit with, they had one meeting one time, but a TV thing. Fucking garbage.
You know, it is, it's like this version, the conspiracy theorist version of it is that horrible, like, they make you have sex with a child and they film it so they can blackmail you later and all that stuff. But the real life version of it is this, like, everybody just knew him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's a monster, but everybody knows him. So everybody must be a little bit okay with it, I guess.
Everybody, like, you know, you're not complicit in, like, doing a murder ritual with a child, but
no.
You are complicit in, hey, I was fine palling around with this guy because I made a lot of money,
right?
And all that shit. I sacrificed whatever piece of my morals should have been there,
right,
for that.
Which means that now we're on the other side of it, and it turns out, like, fucking everybody knew him, but we just don't talk about it all the time because, hey, fucker, you know, everybody knew him. What, are you going to clean house?
Maybe.
That would be nice.
And see, that's what Epstein and Bannon were trying to do.
I bet.
Clean some house.
They were.
Get rid of that Jerome Powell.
Gotta.
And but yo, the headlines. Ooh, met with him. Ooh, emails. And you read them. Got them right here. And it's, hey, you got to put pressure on everybody you know. We really got to get rid of Powell. That was 8 years ago. Well, imagine the White House chief of staff trying to mobilize powerful people to get rid of the Federal Reserve head. And it's like, oh, shocking revelations. Oh, my goodness. And you read, it is nothing burger on top of nothing burger on top of nothing burger.
So keep in mind that at the time when Bannon would have been doing this, it's well after the point where everyone knew that he was a sex trafficker and a pedophile.
Yeah.
The best defense Alex can come up with for these emails is that Bannon, acting as Trump's chief of staff, felt that part of overthrowing the head of the Federal Reserve required rallying a known sex trafficking pedophile into your ranks because he was powerful.
Yeah.
Even if Alex wasn't lying about what the emails say, and even if he were covering the story down the middle, this explanation is horrible. The Alex Jones of 2011 would have serious problems with the president's chief of staff secretly coordinating with a sex trafficking pedophile in order to sway economic policy for the country. And to see this be a nothing burger for Alex now is just pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I want better for him. This is so bad.
It's just so easy. This is the easiest thing in the world, right? Like, I understand it's the instinct of everybody in the internet sphere to, like, talk about the details and the and argue about all of this stuff. But the reality is, if you're in the business of being Alex or the like, you can just be like, hey, all of these people were talking to him. All of these people get consequences. That's it.
Right.
Right.
And at this time frame that he's talking about, where Steve Bannon would have been coordinating with Epstein in order to try and get Jerome Powell out.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same time that all of the people in the media sphere of, like, Breitbart and InfoWars are sensationalizing the shit out of, like, Podesta emails.
Yep.
And all this Pizzagate shit. And so, like, it's a little bit ludicrous to pretend that anyone really cared about any of that stuff.
Yep. Yep. Now is the time for torches and pitchforks. You're the torches and pitchforks guy.
Mm-hmm.
Buy some torches and pitchforks.
No, because then you have to use them on each other.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be fun.
You have to torch and pitchfork your friend.
You guys gotta have it out, and then we'll deal with what's left.
I see. I think the problem is that you are suffering from something that Alex thinks is very common right now, and that is that people are just, they're too stupid.
That will happen. I have thought that about myself an awful lot lately.
You may just not get it.
But it's the messaging. I'm serious when I say this. Because things have kind of become idiocracy. So we've got to be really smart about policy, implement it, be very brainy at that. But, I mean, if Trump just did like Kid Rock did, and say had an ice sculpture of Jerome Powell, or an ice sculpture, you know, of some globalist, and started beating it with a sledgehammer, he get a 10% boost. And you're like, well, wait, Alex, you don't want violence. You don't want rhetoric. You don't want to turn it up. Well, here's the problem. The public's so dumbed down. That's why the left's running around saying kill everybody. That's why the left's running around saying murder everyone, civil war. Because, A, that's the Podesta plan, and, B, that's what their constituents want.
Huh.
And I'm not saying Trump has to go that far. He's just got to get hardcore because his actions are revolutionary. But the delivery is very corporate. And people are seeing this. And note to Trump, don't have Larry Ellison or Bill Gates at the White House. Note to Trump, stop saying the whole Epstein thing's a hoax. Remember what it got explained to you? How you were the one that exposed it and all that. It's on record. Remember, I know you don't care. It's a distraction for you.
Oh, my God. Remember the lies we told you to tell?
But remember, Roger came and met with you and was like,
oh, my God.
You went out and people went, oh, yeah, because it was true.
Remember Roger coached you on this?
This is why the left is going crazy.
Come on, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Don't you remember?
How is it possible that you can both hero worship a guy and then speak to him like that?
Remember your talking points.
Oh, God damn it. This is crazy.
Yeah, people are really stupid. If only Trump would be like Kid Rock and smash an ice sculpture of somebody, people would love it.
I think there was a time whenever I felt like they were lying, right? But they knew what the reality was, and from there they were creating a lie to go from there, right?
Right. I think I know the distinction you're making.
Right, right. Now it feels like nobody even bothers with what reality is anymore, and they just enjoy crafting new and more fun lies on top of those lies.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, in the past it felt like there was a lie, but there was kind of an obligation to pretend we all still lived within reality.
Right. Like, I know you know that I'm lying, but not everybody knows that I'm lying. And that's where I get my grift, you know? That's where we're at. Like, but now it feels like I don't even know if I'm lying anymore. I might be telling the truth. I might be lying about lying right now. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very untethered.
Yeah.
When you said there was a time that I got a really horrible thought in my head, and that was, there was a time that I probably could recite the lyrics to like 5 Kid Rock songs.
Ooh, 5.
And I think that time might be now. I think I still could.
You think that time is still now?
I think I listened to Devil Without a Cause, that album, enough times that just there forever.
You know, it is like whenever I did hearing aids, I spent some time more than I would ever like to in nursing homes and hospices. And there is that like person who's like, man, I still smell that from when I was 9 years old. And I was like, there are so many things I don't want to be the last memory I have on my pet.
I think I'm the bull god. Ba with the ba.
Right, of course.
Only God knows why.
How many lyrics are there in Ba with the ba, though? Because I feel like 40% of it is the title of the song.
No. 40% of it is that intro. Where it's just like,
that's one lyric.
There's other lyrics. There's a few.
Okay. All right.
Don't make me
I'm not trying to do this.
This is for the questions that don't have any answers.
I prefer Will Smith's.
The Midnight Glancers and the Topless Dancers.
Let's stay in safe harbors where there is a giant mechanical spider.
Yeah. So Alex is reflecting a little bit about how, like, everyone would love him if he turned on Trump.
That's true.
No, it's not.
No.
If Trump doesn't succeed, I want everybody to understand, because it's so fashionable to attack him, so fashionable, you know, to spend all your time going after him, because the Democrats will promote you, because they want a schism, and a lot of Republicans are pissed off, so they're all for it. I mean, if I came out here and said, screw Donald Trump, F him, I'm done, why the Democrats would drop their lawsuits against me, and I'd have
is that how it works?
And I could be number one everywhere again, and they wouldn't be blocking me or attacking me. But America would end up degenerating and collapsing. So I don't even think about selling out and doing that. But at the same time, I have to cover each little piece of this and be accurate about it. Trump is the lifeboat we're in, literally. And he's not perfect. But if the lifeboat sinks, we go down with it.
If Alex turned on Trump, none of his legal problems would go away. He'd still be in the exact same mess that he's in, and there's a pretty good chance that no one on the other side of the media would even care past making fun of him. Alex has missed the boat in terms of his timing to make a meaningful pivot. It legit doesn't matter what he does or who he supports now, because the beast he was serving has grown far more powerful than anything he has to offer. Alex and his audience are just kind of backwash now. There was a time when everyone in the extreme right-wing media were caught up in Trump worship, and it would have been a pretty big step to break with Trump. In and around 2020, that election time, that probably would have been the best time to stake this kind of a position, because it was super clear that Trump was trying to overthrow the election, and after January 6th, it would have been profoundly easy to present a position that basically boiled down to, this guy is obviously a tyrant, and while I support a lot of his policies, everyone on the right has been whipped into a cult of personality that's going to destroy us.
Sure.
If he would have done that then, he could have preserved something for his career.
Right.
And probably got a larger audience, but he's a coward.
I mean, obviously, the irony of that is we told him to do exactly that around 2020.
Yes. If Alex had made that pivot, it might have mattered. But now everything is inconsequential. By degrees and over time, Alex has made decision after decision that's eroded his ability to ever stand up for himself in a way that matters, to the point where he now feels like he has to cover for Bannon and Epstein being friends.
Yeah.
Like, no, you've got nothing.
It feels like a VH1 Behind the Music documentary. Like, we're at the point where it's like, wow, you really did downfall, huh? You really went through it.
Yeah, but he's like, Alex isn't going to make the best art of his career. Like, he's not going to find the music again.
There is no third act redemption story here. There is just fucking Whitesnake went on and then they died.
Unless
and
painting show.
Oh, now we're talking. That actually does sound good.
I think that there's like a weird buyer's remorse kind of feeling of like, everything in my life would be better if I didn't do this. And it's like, no, you're delusional. Just, you mistimed the jump.
I mean, it's amazing to listen to somebody be like, well, if I did the thing that I should do, it would end society. But at the same time, knowing that this person has only ever gotten more and more and more of what they want, which is exactly proportional to how much worse and worse and worse everything has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could not be more stark, the two lines of more you get, worse it gets for us.
Yeah. And it's fascinating, too, how I think, like, Alex should really take stock of, like, how his career has come to a point where he can't say no to Trump.
Yeah.
Except in petulant outbursts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's falling in line with everything that matters, and the only kind of pushback at all is like, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And it's just doubled back once the feeling subsides.
And the closest he can get to some sort of sober-eyed criticism is saying he calls balls and strike 100% of the time strikes for Trump.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
So the media, I think, this is really the point, they should be nicer to Trump.
That does sound true.
And then I think Alex is encouraging people to self-harm.
Well.
And so everybody just needs to remember, yeah, criticize Trump. But are you spending 80% of your time on it? Yeah, you are.
That's not going
to
help us.
Are you spending most of your time on trying to promote the good things he's doing?
That's not how we got
to
space.
To fight the globalists and the left and expose the bad they're doing? Because we really should be spending our time on that, most of it. I just took Trump somewhat to the woodshed because I know he gets information back. So I'm more riding a horse, and that's what I see Trump as. Literally, he's the horse getting us there. I don't mean that as an insult, but and I'm just jamming spurs into, you know, his back legs, and I got a riding crop, and I'm whooping his ass lovingly. And by the way, I got a riding crop beating my own ass. I mean, you know, get up, get on your feet, fight. Because we're right at the heart of the battle right now. So all of us need to be digging our spurs into ourselves. All of us need to be getting a riding crop out. Man, you know, that'll wake your ass up. Take a riding crop and slap yourself hard on the thigh. Know what a horse feels. I mean, you know, open the skin.
What are we doing here?
I'm not a masochist, but at this point I am. I mean, it's like Roy Batty's dying at the end of Blade Runner.
I need to feel something.
Get him juiced up through adrenaline so he's driving nails into his hands just so he can finish the fight. I mean, I'm there, man. I'm like pulling nails out here. I'm like, get that son of a bitch going here. All right, this is do or die time, folks. Get your game faces on. Get serious.
Remember last episode he was talking about jumping out a window? This guy's in a good place.
Huh.
Good place.
I mean, listen, I was even willing to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way up to, like, you know, I've given myself a nice slap on the face. You know, you give yourself a splash of cold water into the face. You get the senses sharp and that kind of thing.
Wake up.
So I can get on board with a little riding crop slap. And then he's like, break the skin. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What's happening now?
Feel the blood.
There is no need for that part. What?
Open the wound.
Why do you want blood?
Because
what's happening?
It's a color of passion.
No, no. Just splash some cold water. You don't even bleed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple corrections. He had not taken Trump to the woodshed. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, it's not so much a correction, but it's like, okay, if he's the one who's digging the spurs into Trump.
Yeah.
Who's digging the spurs into Alex?
Right.
That's Roger, right?
I would have to be.
I mean, who's giving him the whipping?
It's not God. Once you start with
God doesn't do that.
This person's a puppet. We've seen how that goes.
Right.
Right.
But, like, God is about free will.
Sure.
So God's never going to whip you with a riding crop to be like, get it done.
Well,
that has to be a devil or, like, a Roger.
I guess the closest we've seen God come to riding crop behavior is whenever he gave Alex several hundred dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Hackman still died. So you clearly can't riding crop Alex.
But none of that was riding crop. That didn't break the skin.
No, that's true. That didn't break the skin. That was mainly just nagging. Yeah.
Listen. If you don't clean your room, it's not nagging for someone to be like, you got to clean your room. You got to do it. It's not nagging.
It's reminding.
You took on this mission of keeping your room clean.
No, I'm not killing Gene Hackman right now.
Yeah. That's the problem.
That is maybe the problem. I mean, okay, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you bring this up of God telling Alex things.
Yeah.
Because the night before this, he was visited by the Lord.
Last night, it happened again. Got my cell phone turned off. I stuck it in the drawer.
Don't do this.
Next to the bedstand.
Don't do it.
And I wake up. And
don't do it.
God's tapped me on the shoulder.
Oh, God.
Hey, Alex.
And I said, turn my cell phone on, right? You're going to show me you're real again, right?
Alex, this isn't fun anymore.
Get it and turn it on. And I say out loud, 247.
Fucking hell.
Bone boots, which means God told me that he probably at 246. Boots, 247. That's probably happened thousands of times in my life. Maybe 1,000, I don't know. Over and over again. That's God's way, I guess.
Is it?
But that's,
is that it?
You've seen me do it on
air. Is that God's way? That's it. That's the whole thing.
Things, exact minutes, times. It's amazing. And that's just God's way, I guess, of talking to me. You know, today is the one-year anniversary of the fake auction they had last year.
Go have a drink.
Oh, my God.
So what's the point? Like, what did God want to convey to Alex through time predictions? Isn't the point supposed to be that the time trick is to get Alex's attention, then God tells him to stop drinking or whatever?
Right.
The time trick isn't the important part. It's the message God is conveying afterwards, and Alex seems to be a bit vague on what those messages are.
Hmm.
We certainly hear about this clock shit over and over and over again, though, which, you're right, it's not fun anymore. This is pretty fucking stupid. Even if I'm God, I'm getting annoyed.
I was just thinking earlier today, I was like, man, hell seems like a waste of energy. You've got so much energy and effort forever to punish some dead guys who can't even bother you anymore. They've got to get bored. But clearly they don't get bored, right? So there's no way for a demon to get bored with fucking with Alex like this. Like, he's bringing his friends every morning. Like, check this out. I swear to God, he does it every fucking time. He's going to do this.
If we presume that it's a demon doing this, as opposed to Alex looking at clocks and choosing to forget all the times he's wrong about what time he thinks it is.
That does seem reasonable.
Yeah, I think that's more what's going on.
It seems reasonable for you to say that, but I'm going to go with demon.
Okay.
All right.
So, look, I'm no theologian, but I believe that based on my understanding of God from the Bible, he wouldn't just be desperately chasing Alex around trying to impress him with clock tricks. Mm. God gave Alex hundreds of dreams about Gene Hackman in the year before his death, and Alex ignored them. If you have the balls to call yourself a prophet and try to make money off this status you think God's afforded you by speaking, him speaking to you, you don't get to pick and choose what visions you accept. If you just decide that you get to ignore some prophecy and go with the stuff you like, then you're using God. And if he exists, you're probably going to hell. Submission to God requires that you accept things that are personally disadvantageous, like recognizing that it would look crazy to randomly go to Gene Hackman's house because you think God told you to. That looks crazy to normal people, because we know that God doesn't just give us missions. But if Alex is the person that he pretends to be and profits off making people believe he is, then he should have gone to Hackman's house after, like, dream number 4. This is not that complicated. He thinks he has visions. It's not weird for him. It would be weird for you.
Yeah, it would be weird for me.
It would be weird for me.
It would be
very
weird.
It's not weird
for
him. He's had 1,000 instances where God told him what time it was in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking about Jupiter, right? So Jupiter, real big, made out of gas and stuff. There's a storm on the planet that's bigger than Earth, or maybe something like that. That might be true, might not be true, but there's a really big storm, right? There's all of this shit, and it's so far away. And it's so big, and this God had to have created that too, right? Mm-hmm. So he's got this giant gas giant, and he's got a storm that goes on for eternity, and you can see from space. But also, it's 247, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
247!
It's 247, and you're late to terraform that big gas storm.
What are we doing here?
You gotta get out to space and turn it green.
God needs to get his shit together. Priorities, man.
Whew.
Make a better planet somewhere.
Unless there is something really, 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 really important that Alex is supposed to be doing that he's not doing. Like, if God is really shaking him around in the middle of the night,
right?
It's not because he wants him to continue to do a dumb radio show.
Yeah.
Like, right? There's got to be something bigger.
I mean,
he's got to, like, overthrow the power of the world. He's got to, like, perform miracles in front of Congress or something.
Okay, so you've got Noah, right? And he's all like, I'm not going to build this shit. And then you throw him away. You punish him. You do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is a lot like Alex, but the goal at the end of Noah was everybody needs to continue living eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex's goal is not even close to that. At best, it's save Gene Hackman's life, and that's already over.
Yeah, he missed that one.
So can you imagine a god...
Or conversely, we don't know if he was supposed to go and kill Gene Hackman.
That's also possible.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a god who's created free will and all this stuff, several hundreds of thousands of years of humanity and all this stuff, and then is like, man, for the first time ever, really regretting that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I could just take this guy over in a heartbeat. I've possessed people before.
I'm really questioning my own infallibility.
I mean,
this guy is a real fuck up.
I could start over. Like, it's not too late.
You know what I think is also kind of funny?
Yeah.
Alex has in the middle of the night, God tells him what time it is.
Yeah.
And you think about these other figures from the Bible.
Sure.
You know, like a Noah.
Sure.
And I just imagine Alex being like, you know what? I got to build an ark. And then all of his shithead friends being like, Elon's already doing a better version. Do you think you can make a better rocket than this? What are you doing? You're making a boat?
I will say this. For the next catastrophe, I have a strong sense that a boat's going to be more useful than a rocket. A
boat will... Yeah, you should have a boat.
I would bet on boat over rocket next catastrophe around.
So, Alex, one of the things that he spent some time on this episode is Woody Harrelson.
Sure.
He's talked some shit.
What's going on with Woody? Woody's all right, right?
He's not all right.
He's not all right? Is Woody
doing okay?
First
of all, his dad killed JFK.
Well, that is true.
Second.
That is true. I forgot about that. I forgot about that part. That is true.
He's been talking some shit in interviews about maybe how he would poison Trump. And Alex is not thrilled with this.
Sure.
I used to dream about being a Secret Service agent, but then that passed when I realized the character that I liked on television was actually an actor playing a Secret Service agent. But luckily, I didn't become a Secret Service agent. I'd be having to protect Donald Trump right now, and that just wouldn't sit well.
You would have a very big job right now to do.
Yeah, I'd be wanting to slip him some cyanide instead of jumping in front of a bullet. I shouldn't say these
you
things.
Should probably. Not be saying
okay,
these things.
Okay, well, I guess, well, there's...
No, not when your dad's a famous CIA top assassin. Probably don't want to be saying that stuff, Woody. Not good.
Because they might recruit him again?
Not good at all. Charles Harrelson. And I've interviewed more people than anybody. I've interviewed three of the people that were there with Charles Harrelson.
Uh-huh.
And I'm told that big Subverter film, that Harrelson's one got that shot. None of them were exactly sure because they shot him full of holes. It wasn't just three bullets at him, a whole bunch. Triangulation, that's the key. So I think when old Woody makes comments like that, that's not good, Woody.
Why? He's Woody Harrelson.
The top racehorse at killing people. Well, we know, that stuff passes on. You kind of got to...
I'm sorry? Eyes.
Makes you really believable as a tough guy in the movies. That you need to dial that back, sonny boy. Need to dial it back. And I like Woody.
What is happening?
But trying to win points with the Democrats and the liberals talking about killing Trump. Not a good thing, Woody.
Not good, Woody.
What are we doing?
Murder is genetic.
What is this?
I don't know. So there's no evidence that Woody Harrelson's dad was involved with the CIA or the JFK assassination.
Sure.
He was a mob assassin, though.
Sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
And he died in jail serving a sentence for killing a judge. So yeah. Alex does have a lot of clay to work with here.
Sure. No. I have a hard time with, hey, if your dad's a mob assassin, you're probably great at killing people.
Mm-hmm.
That's intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
you have a button someone can press somewhere that'll turn you into Jason Bourne.
As opposed to just being like a pretty great actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Huh. So Woody Harrelson's a figure in Hollywood who has politics that are close to what Alex wants to pretend his are. So I think Alex tends to treat him a little softer than he would anybody else.
Mm.
It's just weird for him to be sitting on the show and having this response to a celebrity saying that he wanted to kill Trump when he's routinely lost his shit screaming about folks like Robert De Niro saying that he just wants to punch him.
Yep.
What I'm saying is that this is all a game and Alex likes Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
And so he's... I like you, Woody.
Yeah.
Dial it in.
I mean, I feel like, what, how many years ago now did Kathy Griffin hold a headless Trump?
That was around the election,
that was like
right?
2016,
17?
Yeah, we're, I mean, hey, come on, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be.
They called like a jihad on her.
Yeah, like, right? They... Like, what are we doing here? Everybody went fucking apeshit.
Yeah. I remember, like, Alex was... like trying to sell Kathy Griffin is ISIS shirts
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yep.
Crazy.
Man, I love that stuff in retrospect still does, like people are still like, well, that's, you know, it's, she's gone a little too far and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do?
Nah.
Yep.
So a lot of this show, obviously, immigrant bashing
sure.
and racism and what have you.
Sure.
But we don't need to dwell in all of the instances of that because we have a guest.
Yeah.
Who comes in. This guy named Elijah Schaefer.
Okay.
He sucks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
He used to work for The Blaze.
Okay.
But he got fired for sexually assaulting a coworker.
Boy, that's...
And so he has his own show called Slightly Offensive.
I wouldn't name my show that if I was a...
Well, it's kind of like a comedian naming a special canceled. It's like, it lets
sure.
people know you're cool.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Slightly offensive is slightly. Not cool. That's the least cool thing you could be. I'm a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the coolest thing you've got. I'm a little.
So he is getting sued.
Sure.
By Kash Patel's girlfriend.
So he's extremely offensive.
Yeah, he has offended her sensibilities
yes,
for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
So here's the situation.
Uh-huh.
Someone else posted something about leaders being having handlers and like
sure.
There's too many people who are under control.
Right. We're getting back to Israel sooner or later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Elijah Schaefer posted a picture of Kash Patel and his girlfriend
okay.
under this tweet. So he responded to this tweet about people being controlled
sure.
within the administration.
Kash Patel controlled by his Israeli girlfriend.
Right.
Yes.
Which is, she has already sued Kyle Serafin,
right.
Another of Alex's friends, for more explicit claims
sure.
that she is an Israeli honeypot
right.
Agent and that he's being handled by her.
Sure.
And so she decided to sue him for this tweet. And my take on it is generally like she shouldn't sue him for that probably, but he 100% meant it to be something that
absolutely
is defamatory and deserves to get you sued.
Yeah.
The only reason I say maybe she shouldn't have sued him is because like Is it worth your time?
Sure.
Is it something that really you can follow through? And there's an argument to be made that she doesn't have the same protections that a lot of people would as a private citizen because she's a musician.
Sure.
On top of already being, Kash Patel's girlfriend.
Right.
So she is more of arguably a public figure. I don't know. I think it's a mess. Everyone's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's
seems
what
to be the case.
It's what happens when you have like dipshits being elevated into media roles.
Yeah.
No professionalism anywhere, and other types of dipshits running the government.
Yep.
You end up with this kind of drama circle nonsense.
Yeah.
And everyone's just trying to make some money off it.
Boy, that is the epitaph of America. Everybody was just trying to make some money, man.
Mm-hmm. So Elijah Schaefer comes on, and I think that one of the things that he really has to do is play dumb about what he did.
Right.
Like, obviously what he was doing was saying, this is a person who is controlled by the person in this picture.
It's
fucking obvious.
If we were both to be honest about this situation, the facts of the case have already been decided against me. I was defaming her.
Right. Or at very least, there are no real plausible arguments for what else you were trying to say with this post.
Right. So I only need to make a just good enough argument to keep me out of trouble.
Yeah.
I have no interest in making an actual
and
argument.
And I think it's embarrassing for him just based on, like, you know, what's obvious.
Sure.
But it's also embarrassing for Alex.
Start over. I mean, this is insane.
Insane!
Say, yeah, you never said anything bad about us, but because you criticize Israel, we're going to destroy you. I mean, this is bonker town. I bet Netanyahu's people wrote this. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, look at this. Look at this. Defendant Elijah D. Schaefer has perpetrated a malicious lie about Alexis Wilkins, falsely claiming that she is an American-born country singer, is a foreign agent of the government to manipulate and compromise director of the FBI. So they say the lawsuit starts in its first sentence, says, I said something, and then it goes down and it says he actually didn't say anything. This is legitimately what it says. He did not say anything. It said he replied with a wordless reply with no caption, with no statement, with no words. However, we know what he was thinking. That's where this is crazy. We know what he was thinking when he posted a picture of Kash Patel and his girlfriend.
And by the way, look at this. Is a great photo. That's crazy. Looks great. She looks great. This is what you posted this on top of someone else's post. This is $5 million.
Yeah, but
I'm paying you to post that. They look great. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well, this is what I'm trying to tell people. Look, you'll see the attack dogs already.
Folks, hold on. You're being sued for $5 million for that.
Yeah.
All you did was post on somebody else's post that.
Maybe you shouldn't be sued for that, but you shouldn't be playing this kind of fucking dumb either.
Yeah.
The reason that we end up in a position where, like, nobody knows what anything means anymore is because covering your ass when you have posted something like this to avoid paying someone for defaming them with accusations, you have to play this kind of stupid, oh, you don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe I just wanted to post a picture of Kash Patel and his girlfriend looking beautiful together.
Yeah.
It's fucking embarrassing. Say what you mean.
Right. I think it's this kind of shit right here that is the inspiration for that. No, that somewhere an adult should be coming, that kind of thing. Because this is the type of shit where...
Someone should slap Elijah and be fucking stop it.
Right.
Stop lying. Just say what you want. Do you want to speculate and talk about how you think she's possibly an Israeli honeypot? Then do it.
Yep. Yeah. It is like we're all in elementary school and there should be... When we were in elementary school... Everybody inherently trusted the teacher whenever the teacher would hear this shit and go, get the fuck out of here. Get back into your fucking desk. And everybody would go, yep, totally. You shouldn't be able to do that.
Go to timeout.
Right? Absolutely. And now we just don't have anybody who we can trust to do that. And what you would suggest to trust, like a judge, his job is essentially that, is that you go there and that's the one place where you're like, we all know this guy said something defamatory. How is it possible you disagree with us?
Well, I think that it is arguable. I could see a very responsible judge thinking that this doesn't rise to the level of a lawsuit.
Right.
But like, you'd have to be pretty fucking stupid to not understand what he means by this.
You would have to be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wants the people he follows... or who follow him, excuse me, to, like, accept that as an excuse means that, like, you don't have a whole lot of respect for the people that you're talking to.
Yeah. I mean, brutal.
I just think that, you know, it's childish shit, this, like, you don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like, that kind, like, you're supposed to be a conveyor of information. You're supposed to be somebody who's... you know, putting out news and analysis and all this stuff, and you're trying to hide behind the mysteriousness of whatever your language could possibly mean. And it's just...
You can't know what's
out
in another person's heart.
Right.
Like, oh my God. Yes, I can, whenever you tweet shit
well,
like
then
that.
By all means, tell me what's in your heart.
Right.
What's the other explanation for this?
Oh, boo. The burden of proof is on the state.
Sure. So Alex obviously can't have a conversation with somebody who's in this position
right.
without it being like...
It's entirely about Alex?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was an image that I posted without any words. They extracted all of these statements. He said this. It's not even just that he implied. It's like he said that she is an agent. He said that she is working for Mossad. He said that she's manipulating and controlling her boyfriend. And there's they extracted like a dozen or more statements from that picture that were never stated. I am being sued for something I never said. Now you can get sued.
You're being sued for what they said you said.
Correct. This is nuts. Like, do you know how crazy this is, Alex?
I've never been to Connecticut, and they claim I sent people to pee on graves, and then we asked them on the stand, no one peed on graves.
That's amazing. So, yeah, it is kind of about you. I don't know.
I like the game. You know what? Let me put it this way, right? I like the game. I like the lying game. I like the trying to get away with shit game. Mm-hmm. I like the doing something that's against the rules and seeing if I can't jump the General Lee over it kind of game. That's fun. But if you get caught, you accept that you lost the game. You move on, you know? You know what I'm saying? You don't give me this like, well, you don't know, you know? Like, fuck you. You got caught. Accept the game. The game works. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal.
It's not impressive if you're jumping the General Lee in a video game with like moon physics.
And then you don't have, there's going to be stakes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you lose.
Yeah, you fucked up.
You fucked up.
Yeah.
Suck it up, eat it like a man, and move on with your fucking life.
So here's the problem that I have. I'm not interested.
Nope.
I'm not really interested in this guy's lawsuit at all.
Yeah.
I think it's incredibly dumb to pretend that he meant anything other than what he is being alleged to have said.
Yep.
But maybe she doesn't really need to be suing him. Maybe as a public official, these are the kinds of things you just have to be like, fuck it, whatever. Let these shitheads talk their shit. You know, whatever. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't really affect me.
I think this is where we need a Solomon to just be like, hey, neither of you can be online for 6 months. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't even give a shit about what either of you are saying. Get offline for 6 months and go outside.
She's fucking dating Kesh Patel, so that sucks.
Yeah.
I don't think that she can be that great.
Right.
This guy's Elijah Schaefer, and he sucks.
So he sucks.
So whatever.
Yep.
Now, what I am interested in is Elijah Schaefer continuing to talk, because I think he reveals that he really fucking hates Indians.
I've been very critical, and I've had some very viral posts very recently in the last 3 months against Cash. One, I stated you cannot trust Indians because they have a deceptive and a dishonest culture, and that's not racist. That's true. Indians are very spiteful and petty. They very similar to Jewish culture. They just don't have the business acumen. And that's why love Israelis. They love, you know, Jews. Because they're like sort of a brown or like a different colored version of the same kind of culture, of like a caste system of superiority. Now, obviously, not all Jews think like that. Obviously, not all Indians think like that. I don't mean all Indians are the same, but I have an African friend who told me that the hardest part about assimilating into the U.S. was the fact that, you know, in Africa, they tell you to lie.
Now, keep in mind, this is not racist. He said it's not, so it's not. Yeah, the hardest part about assimilating into the United States is that other cultures tell you should lie, too.
Oh, my God.
Says a liar on a lie show.
It's crazy how the one black person I know tells me that all black people lie to me.
Mm-hmm. It's their culture.
It's their culture.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a barrage of racism.
Yeah, even for this show, I thought that was pretty surprising.
That is...
It's unguarded.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just say, and that's not racist.
Nah.
I'm not a racist, but would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you could just say, that's also not racist.
After you have said something that is deeply, deeply racist.
All Indians are bad. That's not racist.
No. You can't trust Indians because they're sneaky.
Right.
This isn't racist.
What? That's not racist. You can't just declare that, right?
No.
That's not okay.
No. But I thought it was interesting as a person. Because as a person on his show, on Alex's show, because I think even like a Nick Fuentes is a little more careful, or when he's saying shit that's this racist, he tries to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't funny.
No, this is just all Indians are distrustful. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
And here's my sociological and scientific reason why it's cool for me to have this prejudice.
You know, it is like sometimes you're just not connected into the racism world. So you don't even know what kind of racism is out there.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I'm not even in the regular racism, the popular racism of like, just American racism. Black people are bad or whatever. There's like fucking bespoke racisms out there
that's true.
I haven't even considered racist about.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I was experiencing while I was listening to this episode.
Yeah.
Was that Alex is not really that into this.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that he doesn't hate Indians that much. Like,
there's not enough hours in the day for all this hate, man.
You know, he is a white identity guy.
Right.
But there's definitely, like, lower priority hate for him.
Sure.
And I think, like, Indian folk, Asian people generally are on the low rungs of, like, who he's worried about.
Well, I mean, I suppose that does reinforce that whole familiarity breeds contempt kind of thing, you know? Like, what he is racist about is his area in specific.
Yeah.
You know, it's geographic in a very distinct way.
Yeah, in his life, he is probably more prone to run into black people and Hispanic people.
Yep.
And therefore, those are the larger...
Yeah.
And then I guess so much of the media around the last 20 years has been, like, deeply Islamophobic.
Yep.
And so, you know, a target on Muslims is... Yep. He's susceptible to that. So, yeah, you know, maybe he doesn't really care about Asian and Indian people because he doesn't know that many or see that many folks around.
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like it takes a lot of effort to be really racist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people out there.
It's true.
And a lot of different cultures and traditions. So, like, you just don't have the strength to be racist to everybody all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why Elijah is here holding up the
thank God for him.
You know, like, we don't have time for the Indian bashing.
I didn't even know to be there. Yeah.
So he's got to represent.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, I want to remind you that somebody else who got mad, Vivek Ramaswamy, the H-1B honey queen.
Security,
I've sort of been one of the key figures that embarrassed him over his posts about increasing H-1Bs. When I went to go approach him at the RNC, his security physically grabbed me and threw me to the floor. So they assaulted me without provocation, and he seemed to be happy about it and wouldn't take my questions. I kept asking him, and he ignored them. And there seems to be this really weird thing that I bring up of, like, Indians getting into power into, you know, whether it's like IBM or Dell or anywhere, and then they fire all of the individuals who are
individuals,
and it's just a very, very, very strange situation. And
sure,
so
I don't mind going there, but just back to the suit, because
this is unprecedented.
And now we're going to sue you into oblivion.
But no, but this is important because I'm saying he was mad about this.
Is
right?
it important?
This went viral, and I saw his proxies getting mad. And there was this whole thing between him and Vivek. I'm bringing this to the level.
So you're saying it's a proxy suit. I totally agree with you.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying I'm bringing up all the proxy issues. So him and Vivek were mad about my opinions on Indians, right? So this is like I am bringing this here, Alex. So just listen. I'm telling you.
Just
Alex,
listen.
This is happening.
Alex, I'm going to say a lot of mean things about India, a nation of so many fucking distinct people. I'm going to say something bad about a billion people, most of whom cannot communicate with each other because there are so many fucking languages. I am going to say something broad strokes about 1/7 of the world.
Can't trust them. I think there's such a fun interplay in that clip of, like, you know, Elijah being like, I want to talk about how I'm being attacked by the Indians. Yeah. And Alex being like, look, I'm fine if you want to do some racist stuff. That's great.
Right.
But let's stay on this lawsuit here. And him, Elijah's being like, no.
Uh-uh.
No.
Nope.
It is very important that I bring it all into focus that India wants me dead.
I imagine, right, that there has to be. There has to be somebody out there for these people forever. Where, like, there's got to be some white guy in the middle of fucking Nebraska right now who just really hates everybody from Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. Who's just like, I hate the Kazakhs or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
saw Borat and thought it was real.
Yeah, just like, oh. And then, like, one day some Kazakh immigrant will do something wrong, and then, bam, it's my time to shine. I'm the racist guy for InfoWars today. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's what this feels like.
Well, I mean, Elijah Schaefer is a—he's a guy who's around. Like, he exists.
Oof.
Like, he's not here because Alex needed to call a racist.
Sure,
up from the
sure,
bullpen.
Sure. No, I understand.
He got sued by Kash Patel's girlfriend, and Alex wants to talk about his own plight.
God
and
damn.
Unfortunately, in doing so, he has welcomed a guy who seems to really be mad at Indians into the, into
what
the
a,
house.
What a whiff!
Yeah.
let's just kind of talk shit about our. The continuing lawsuits. No. I'm going to hate Indian people at you for a while.
Yeah. And the reason that I'm having this lawsuit come at me isn't because of, like, an attack on free speech
nope.
or any of that.
Uh-uh.
It's because I'm too critical of Indians.
Yep.
Great. Great.
Oh,
so, Alex, I think, you know, like, we've seen this a bunch whenever, like, Fuentes will come in. Alex will want to try and coach him.
Right.
To be like, yeah, but come on.
Right. Don't say the JQ. We can say these things without saying them.
Yeah, and so yes. I think he wants to try and get Elijah to calm down on how overtly racist this is.
Incredibly racist.
This is he's using her to come at you, which just shows why is he spending his time on this, and it's a big problem, and I'm really concerned about it.
Yeah. No, but this is what I'm saying this is. Like, yeah, I wasn't trying to turn a sidetrack. I'm saying this was a very sensitive, separate topic that I had embarrassed Vivek on.
No, you're not
on.
Sidetracking. I think it's a foregone conclusion that it's just all about don't just, criticize Kash Patel. Like, I get it.
Correct. But I think Vivek might be connected to it, too, because Vivek was mad about this. Kash was mad about this. And obviously, I do say some inflammatory things. but then it's like,
I'm a big racist.
So now we can't criticize. Like, now we have to accept Indians in our country, and we can't criticize the public figures that are responsible. And then also, I'm bringing this up because this is a very like Indian thing to do, to like manipulate the system to discredit and destroy people you think are less than you or are lower than you. And
holy
I do
shit.
Genuinely feel like there's a
shit.
Lot of aspects to this where it looks like it's Kash Patel.
Sure, I mean, I would say it's a very human after. Thing to do.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Listen, buddy, we're not fitting you for a clan hood today. What is happening?
When Alex has to respond, I think it's a very human thing to do. You know you have gone a little
you
bit far past the line.
You are too racist for me, the guy who's afraid of children wearing burkas in a pool supply store.
Yeah. I think that there's an element of it that is like, it's unsophisticated racism.
Sure.
It's way too overt.
Oh, man.
It's not funny.
No.
And it's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that Elijah also sounds stupid.
Yes.
And I think that those are whether or not Alex would go along with that's a very Indian thing to do. Like that kind of talk.
Jesus
whether or not
Christ.
He would.
Right.
The boundaries, the hurdles to it are those things. Like,
right.
If it were funny, Alex would play along.
Right.
If, you know, Elijah came off way smarter, like he knew his shit,
yeah.
Alex would probably be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Or if Elijah was a hotter commodity in the right-wing media, like
yep.
he's a bit player, and so he's not going to be able to pull this shit.
He's not an entertaining enough racist.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
there's plenty of ways to... I mean, it is almost...
Got a big laugh out of you.
Well, it is very funny, but only in the sense of, like, how stark and dry it is that you can't even, like... Boof! Wow, you're just raw dogging it right out the gate. Goddamn!
Yeah, I think what's almost like so funny about it is how like this is not dissimilar from what you would see in educational contexts of like talking about the civil rights era,
100%,
and how racist people were, like how free that kind of speech was.
Yeah.
Then it's like, well, we have just regressed.
I mean, it is something that you can never communicate properly to racists, right? But it is like everything that he is saying I understand he believes that to be true in the moment, but I could take those words and remove Indian and put Irish in, or remove Irish and put black
in.
It's
a very Irish thing to do.
Exactly. Like, you could say that at any different period in America's history about any... That's a very Catholic thing to do, is what's available. That's very Protestant. There was every possibility to use the exact same language in the exact same way about whatever group you want to say.
Yeah. Yep. And it's sad. And to a level, it is pretty funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, Elijah Schaefer has some other thoughts.
Yeah.
Not just about Indians.
Okay.
He also believes that the Trump administration has been compromised.
Oh.
And that they're done.
I believe that.
And Alex is like, well, hold on now.
Okay.
And as a Trump supporter my entire life, it is hard for me to say the Trump administration is compromised. I repeat, this is not a drill to the American people.
Thank you for repeating.
The Trump administration is completely compromised. And now they have turned their guns back on us. And if you are a journalist,
who could have seen this coming?
Someone who's been credible and has helped the Trump admin, but we're being honest with the public now that whatever money this was, or whatever blackmail there may be on him, or even not even that the Epstein is blackmail. Maybe it's just embarrassed his friends or incriminated the wrong people and they threatened to kill him. I don't know.
Who could have seen this?
We cannot trust this administration. They have turned on us just like Biden did when he said the biggest threat is from within. We need to be aware that, you know, all this boomer swap is not worth it.
I 100% agree, but the direction is starting to go. We got to put major pressure on them for course correct. A lot of Kennedys in there.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I know you won't agree. I'm saying it has been compromised. I'm saying, look, I don't know what else people
You're
need.
Not getting an invite
the
back,
no,
buddy.
No, but I'm saying we need to,
you're not coming back.
Hold over. Can you do some more time with us?
Yeah, it's fine.
I want to come back and talk about can it be fixed, because I agree it's gone off the rails.
Right.
Can it be fixed? The complete capitulation and compromising of the administration. Can it be fixed? I think that Alex is going to run into more and more people who aren't going to play along in the way that Elijah didn't there.
Yeah.
It almost sounded like he wanted to say, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
But what are we going
to
do?
He literally said, what else do people need?
Yeah.
What else do you need to see to give up on this shit?
I've asked myself that question plenty of times.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we got a little bit more of Schaefer after the break.
How is it possible that this guy is still going?
Well, because Alex wants not to end on this kind of a note.
Right.
Wants to talk about some other stuff.
I understand your criticisms. Now, make it okay for me to ignore them completely and still support Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we should talk about whether or not Kash Patel can do a pull-up.
There we go.
Even the lawsuit says I never said anything about her. Do you know who I have said things that are critical of? Do you know who I have? Kash Patel. I've been very critical of Kash Patel. Very critical. So is Kyle
Sheridan.
Looks
like he's hiding behind her.
It doesn't look like it. I would say this. He is hiding behind her.
It's a very The Blaze thing to do.
And if you say that's too much for me to overstep and to assume that, well, this is a lawsuit of assumptions, Alex. So there's without a shadow of a doubt, like I mentioned earlier, he was mad about the comments about him being Indian. He was mad about the comments about Valhalla. He was mad. I had another viral tweet about him, you know, swearing by a demon, the Bhagavad Gita. And he's mad about the cultural and the job. This man is an embarrassment. He can't even do a pull-up. I don't know if you saw that video he released where he's trying to kip and he can't get his body up. We have an FBI director who's struggling to pull his own body weight above a straight bar. And that's a symbol for what's happening here. What happens in corrupt regimes is when they fail, they don't just fail. They try to take down everyone who points it out. Because why?
Well, let's pull
it out enough.
Not to be mean, but what else happened? Kash Patel can't do pull-up. Let's do Mondami. Needs two guys with 145 pounds.
Let me see. Where is that?
See, he's in a whole bunch of pull-ups. He's in good shape. And look, he's got a 1776 flag.
Now, right
here? He's not bench pressing 500 like you, so it's okay.
This is Cash, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Wait, did you see the pull-ups? Did we play them already?
Do the pull-ups again.
Yeah, do the pull-ups
again.
The pull-ups, I was going to say, watch this. This is crazy. I'm not trying to... I'm not dogging on somebody's... You know, I don't dog on other men, man. We all struggle... It's like,
what are we
know,
doing?
The thing is like, you know, I'm wearing my Rift TV t-shirt, you know, like he looked
no!
there. I don't like that's like, I don't know what's going on here. Like,
no, I get it. You're saying they're not full pull-ups.
Well, yeah, they're not full pull-ups, but You know, it's like I'm sitting here, I'm shredding right now. You know me.
What?
Alex, you and I, for some reason, don't need anyone to tell us.
Well, I will say this about it. I'll just say this. They're not even beginning. They're not even beginning pull-ups. So my point is, and I was fine when I was 20, I could do 100 straight. Everybody would be cheering in the gym like full. The point is, now I can do, if I have to, I can do 20 in a row. It almost kills me. But the point is, because the risk
of things. What is the point?
That if I couldn't do that, those aren't even half pull-ups, I would not put that out.
I can't believe he released a video of himself doing not even half pull-ups.
I love having a good Bhagavad Gita reference.
Swore on a demon.
You know, one of the great holy books, juxtaposed next to motherfucker can't do pull-ups.
Can't do a pull-up.
Motherfucker can't do a pull-up.
Now you look at me, I'm shredding.
We can talk about muscles. The Brahmin class all you want, but motherfucker can't do a pull-up.
Look at these 24-inch pythons.
I mean,
indigenous to India.
To then have this guy be like, listen, neither of us need a reason to take our shirts off.
Mm-hmm.
Really undercuts his racism.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems dumb.
It's insane.
I wonder how many pull-ups Bernie can do. That fucking old asshole.
You know what? Fine. Actually, I swear to God, I would put a lot of money on, if we chose leaders via pull-up contest, there's a better percentage of good leaders compared to the ones that we've had over the past 60 years.
Trump can do so many pull-ups. So many. He wears a lot of coats, don't see his upper body.
Let's relitigate some past presidential elections via pull-ups.
I think Obama is winning both of the ones that he ran.
For sure.
I think Hillary probably
I say Howard Dean winds up pulling that one out.
Okay. We're also doing primaries by pull-up.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
Let's forget about that.
That's tough. Yeah.
So McCain, Obama.
Right. Bush
would have beat Gore.
Yeah. Well, Gore's not a pull-up guy, but Bush and Kerry are both former military men.
True.
You know, they've both put in some, I mean, not Bush, obviously, but,
but here's the twist.
Yeah.
Lieberman beats Cheney.
That's the one that does it.
Yeah. So he never gets Bush.
We've got the tiebreak as the vice presidential pull-up contest.
Yeah,
because
I think Al Gore and Bush would be pretty closely matched.
Yeah.
But Cheney's fucked.
Yeah.
So he wins 2000.
Right.
2004 never happens the way it does.
No.
So then we can't predict any elections by pull-ups after that.
Right. That was the final pull-up contest.
Ooh. Yeah. Clinton beats Dole, for sure.
I mean, there is 0% chance Dole wins the pull-up contest.
He's got to do a one-arm pull-up.
He can't even do that. If he wins a pull-up contest, he deserves to be president.
Mm-hmm.
I would vote the shit out of Bob Dole if he could win a pull-up contest.
But I think Bush Sr. might have beat Clinton, especially around 92.
Oh,
Clinton was way out
Clinton
of shape.
Clinton was out of shape. That was part of his thing, is that he was trying to run more to get back into shape.
And yeah.
Yeah, he was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But HW's not a in-the-field guy. HW's a desk jockey.
No, but I think it would probably take two or three for him to win the pull-up contest.
That's fair.
I think he's capable of that.
That's
fair. Probably.
But let's ask ourselves this very serious question. What amount of pull-ups can Ronald Reagan do every year of his presidency?
I think second election, he's in trouble.
Yeah, second election is -4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, second election, he doesn't know where the bar is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
I mean, this is always going to be a lot more fun than dealing with the fact that the other part of this conversation is a guy being like, that's a very Indian thing to do.
And that Indian can't even do pull-ups.
Right? What is happening?
You know who's really good?
Who?
Goldwater.
Goldwater. Goldwater would have changed the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have one last clip Elijah yep. Schaefer.
Yep.
She's like, how did Kash Patel get a hot girlfriend?
I got a beautiful wife, got very good whatever. It's like, look, I'm shredding. You know, it's like you can see my abs at the very least, and I got, you know, got striations. And I only bring this up because it's like I don't even like I'll put up some videos every once in a while, but it's like, look, man, people have questions about you, Kash. You're a short little guy with crazy eyes.
No striations.
And you're posting videos to overcompensate about you working out. People want to know how you got a girl 20 years younger than you who's hot. And look, I don't comment that girls are hot that are random people's girlfriends, but she's a public figure. You can say a public figure is hot. Alexis Wilkins is an attractive girl.
That's not racism.
And, you know, what does she see in him? Well,
you're dealing with something, man. And it's not what you think.
What is happening? Oh, man.
Look, man, I got a wife, and I'm shredded. How'd he get a girl so young and hot?
It is hard to listen to that part of the conversation and not think maybe this guy is transposing some of his feelings in other political areas.
Yeah, it seems like that could be a piece of it. And I also think that when you listen to this kind of like childish, immature shit about like, how do you get a hot girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like you hear that and you're like, oh, that's the same brain that's saying this is an Indian thing to do.
Yep.
They come from the same place.
Yep.
This same stunted development and immaturity.
Yep.
And so I think that's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that I would be surprised if Alex really wants to spend that much more time with it. I don't think their vibes match well.
His vibe sucks. I don't like hearing him talk somehow more than a lot of other people.
Now, that's bad news because it makes me want to do an episode about him to try and give you superpowers.
I mean, there are some things that interest me about this guy. I am interested in a guy who is really into striations.
Sure.
Anybody who is like got an opinion on striations and also global international politics, I'm interested in.
And gets really defensive about how like, yeah, Cash Patel's girlfriend's hot, man. I can say she's hot. What the fuck? I don't say people
are
hot.
Where are we? What is happening that you are
middle
doing this?
School, baby.
All of this insecurity. This is one of the more insecure people that you could hear, right?
It's painful.
And he has absolutely no concept of this. He can't possibly understand what level of insecurity he's operating on.
No, and I would argue that it's probable that he thinks he's the opposite.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He thinks that Cash Patel must be the insecure one.
That weak little cuck.
Absolutely.
Talking about Valhalla?
Yep.
Such an Indian thing to do.
Yeah, putting up a video of doing poor pull-ups is a sign of your insecurity, whereas me saying that I am shredding and filled with striations and I don't understand why he gets a hot girlfriend is not insecurity. You can see the difference, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a loser. I'm gonna do. I'm just out of spite. I'm gonna do an episode about
it. Yeah, fuck this guy.
No,
fuck
you. I wonder. That's one of the things that I can never really know without peeking.
Yeah,
is like, is this just because he's on an interview with Alex that he sounds this fucking stupid?
Yeah.
What would he do with his own time?
Yeah.
Like, I the mind reels. So
I can't imagine somebody wanting to go to him with this level of insecure energy. You know what I mean? Like, I could see him being able to be on his own show and like in control of saying stuff. And then he gets invited on to stuff like InfoWars where it's revealed that he's a giant insecure loser. Right. But I can't imagine somebody wanting to be a guest on his show and then them having a conversation where they're not suddenly like, you're a giant insecure loser. I got to get out of here.
I kind of would like to go on his show and just be like, you all right?
You all right, bud? Buddy.
Are you hurting?
Buddy.
What's going on?
Oh, man. There is so much of like how to describe the lack of just regular maturity. You know? Like there's so many conversations about a lack of masculinity or the lack of masculine role models or the lack of all of this stuff. But it's just like, why can't we just get a regular baseline for maturity?
Yeah.
Irregardless.
And let me be totally clear. Neither you nor I are super mature.
No, absolutely not.
There is a lot of immaturity in our lives.
I chose this. I'm a clown.
Right. It's not like everyone has to be stuffy adults.
No.
And not laugh at farts or whatever the fuck.
No.
But it's notable how immature this is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to be playful and flirty with immaturity.
Playful immaturity is, you know, good. Immaturity, yeah, that creates systems where you like try to hurt other people.
Immaturity has no part of systems. Immaturity shouldn't be anywhere near systems. Immaturity, yeah, can't even handle solo, let alone a group.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Anyway, I don't know. I think this is a good way to deal with the Epstein emails coming out. And we'll see how Alex continues to deal with even further revelations that may be tough.
You just got to get a more extreme racist on every, like, oh, man, I forgot about the Epstein emails immediately after this guy said some shit.
Stefan Molyneux
right?
is back.
Whoa!
But I don't think that it was intentional. That's no. the thing. That's the thing that makes it even more funny.
Yeah.
Is like, I don't think that Alex had any idea that Schaefer was going to go off into this territory.
How could you?
Yeah, and I don't think he was thrilled with it.
No, absolutely not.
So.
Wild.
Anywho, we'll be back Indeed. With another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.